Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. They have a late night menu. They have 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot TV. It's 38 days until Saints football. That's how close we are. We have actual camp. You go to
closer than that for preseason.
Yeah,
right?
Preseason. Go to the Pelican House for preseason. Get your drink on, man. It's football. Is football. Even though preseason football is only fun for like 10 minutes. Go to the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. You should support them because they support us. All right. Thank the baby Jesus.
Seriously, you realize Saints Patriots is in 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And here's the thing with Saints training camp, the optimism is running over. The Saints actually made a move right before the podcast, and Andrew, it actually ties in well to what a question I was asking you today while we were not doing work and talking Saints football was. I asked you, why are the Saints playing Pete at left tackle if he needs to be getting reps at guard? And maybe they brought back Tony Hill so they can slide him over to guard?
No, Tony Hill's was more of a tackle when he played for the Saints. So I think that's just a trade one for one. You know, Riker Matthews is the guy that got hurt, who's a tackle. And so I think they just brought Tony Hill in. You'll remember Tony Hill's being a guy that played a little bit last year. Didn't look too good the times he was in there.
That's not true. He played in that Atlanta game, that first Atlanta game.
Yeah, he was atrocious.
They won, though.
They did.
So he's won. It's like a quarterback stat, man. He gets all the credit. That's a Tony Hill's
Vince,
win.
Vince Young just wins playoff games,
right,
baby.
That's right.
That's right.
If you can give wins to quarterbacks,
don't forget Tebow.
Why can't I give wins to fourth string offensive lineman?
No, I have no retort for that. You win.
All right. So, and before the show started, Dave was bringing up a point that Michael Thomas might be the most hyped up Saints camp player ever. For sure, the hell after 5 days. But Dave, here is my theory.
He's the love child of Adrian Arrington, Anime Ojo, Chase Lyman, Mike Haas, and Andy Tanner on goat blood and steroids.
Here's the thing, though.
Mike Haas.
This is the reason why we didn't have social. We didn't have social media with vines and uploaded video to Twitter and Facebook of Andy Tanner making one-handed catches the first
day.
Yes,
that was around during Andy Tanner's time.
I don't remember Andy Tanner making one-handed
catches.
Andy
Tanner was not making those plays. That's the problem.
Dude,
no,
I watched
there
that.
Were no vines back there then. Were there were no vines.
I watched
Dave.
That thing like 50 times.
First of all, Andy Tanner was on the team last year, wasn't he? Wasn't he in training camp last year?
Like 2 years ago.
Kevin, dead
They had Vine 2 years ago.
Kevin, dead serious question. And thanks to everybody in the fantasy leagues. They are full. We are going 12 teams. It's going to be awesome. Kevin, serious question. Michael Thomas.
Well, hold on. Real quick on the fantasy. Hold on. Real quick on the fantasy. If you're in the leagues, please go by your normal name as your team name. Don't make some silly name where we'll have no idea who you are.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, Kevin, serious question.
No. Auction league, be whoever you want to be. Name your team, whatever.
God damn it.
Because you're in the auction league. So, if you want to be in the auction league, if you want to have an offensive name, provided it's not like too insane, be my guest.
Yeah. But Kevin, seriously.
Well, it's not an offensive thing. It's just how do you even know who you're playing?
How do you know?
How do you even know who to talk trash to on Twitter?
I don't need to know who I'm beating to win.
You just need to know that. Kevin, Michael Thomas, over under $50 in the Saints Happy Hour auction
Jesus
league.
Jesus Christ. You, 51.
All right. Enough fantasy football talk. I might bet it all. Yeah. I don't want to ruin that kid's career. But here's the thing with Saints camp is, Dave, the optimism is just like flowing like water. They had four glowing features on Roman Harper, and we're not even a week into this thing. Like yeah. So here's a game that I want to play, and I'm going to read an actual Saints training camp headline that either the New Orleans Advocate or NOLA.com or WWL wrote, and I'm going to read it to one of you guys. I'm going to read you the headline, but then you tell me the honest headline, what it really means. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I feel like we need theme music to this.
So, Kevin,
go ahead, Ralph.
This is the first headline. Kevin, can Vaughn Bell play a similar rookie role with the Saints as Green Bay's Demarius Randall?
I can't hear you with Dave.
Dave has got the worst news.
All right. I'm done.
Let me.
Just kidding. Go ahead. I was just kidding. Go ahead. No, Ralph, you go. You go, Ralph.
This. Let's see. Mark Ingram poised to become.
Wait, what happened to the original question? You didn't even get an answer to the first one.
Well, no, because you distracted me, and I didn't like that.
You hijacked it. You ruined it.
You. Dave and his kazoo. Kevin, Saints young DBs brimming with confidence. What does that really mean?
The original headline is Saints young DBs brimming with confidence. Young players unaware they may have their asses handed to them in regular season.
That's good. That's and. And good and accurate. Andrew can't guard Mike. Saints rookie wide receiver Michael Thomas best in camp so far. What's the real meaning of that headline?
We should be terrified about how awful every other receiver on the roster is looking.
Dave, Kobe Fleener working to get on same page as Drew Brees.
That means so far he's sucking and dropping balls. But
has the CJ Spiller playbook memory issues. Yeah.
Oh Lord.
That means he's got a lot of upside. That's what that means.
Saints tackle.
Kobe's the
tremendous
headline been,
upside.
The headline should have just been Kobe Fleener has tremendous upside.
Saints tackle Andres Pete is in shape and playing well at his second training camp. Well, I'd hope so against the worst defensive line in the NFL. The number one pick from last year looks like he possibly might not be a bust.
What that means, he's not hyperventilating after two up-downs.
Andrew, Saints PJ Williams showing promise in his return from hamstring injury.
What that means, he's not on IR yet this year.
He's not. Kevin, Ingram climbing Saints career rushing list, but that's not his focus. Kevin, mute himself. Oh, no.
No, I didn't.
He's thinking.
I'm thinking, goddammit. Ingram not paying attention to reaching barely significant milestone.
Or Ingram.
And you see, y'all are cheating at this. I'm trying to give headline responses here.
Right.
Jarris Bird looking to bounce back this year. And when he and when he bounced, he injured his knee. Now that'll be me. I mean,
is this me?
Cam Jordan, Dave. This is the last one. Cam Jordan looks to be.
Yeah, hold on, hold on. Jairus Byrd trying to bounce back, but God knows his checks aren't going to bounce.
No.
Give Jairus Byrd has nowhere to go but up.
Credit to Fletcher Mackel. He had a report Sunday. He worked in Cam Jordan, Ingram, Byrd, and PJ Williams and CJ Spiller. It was like the most optimistic morning training camp report I've ever seen.
That's typical Mackel.
No, this is a good.
He went full Mackel on that one.
This is a good one. I don't. Dave, I guess I'll give this one to you. Frequent missed assignments, alignment errors are becoming a thing of the past for the Saints defense.
That means that headline should be Rob Ryan still not defensive coordinator of Saints.
I love this honest headline game. I really do.
Wait, what was the one with Cam Jordan? You skipped a bunch.
Cam Jordan healthy at start of camp.
Oh.
That was it.
That's pretty obvious headline.
I mean. Oh, we got to you know, Andrew, you have a bet with Barry from
I do.
Barry Hurstius?
Barry Hurstius. He's got like 7 undrafted free agents making the team. So
that's right.
I saw a couple of the names that he really liked. I saw they were actually sounded pretty good by the time.
Barry's gone full Mackel.
Barry's gone wild.
Are you worried that you might have to pay up to Barry that all these undrafted rookies are going to make the team?
I mean, I bet $200, I think it was. I look forward to collecting it, but I mean, the only thing that stopped me from betting my mortgage was that I kind of felt bad for the guy. Like, I felt bad. I mean, it's literally like the guys that, and I'm not talking practice squad. I'm talking practice squad. These four guys actually have to make the 53-man roster opening week.
They do.
It's not like talking about practice.
It's
squad.
It's like Devontae Harris, Jack Allen, R.J. Harris, and some other guy whose name I can't even remember. All four of them have to make the roster for him to get $200. So I mean, and he was proclaiming this after OTAs. Like no one had been in pads.
Yeah,
and he had decided that four undrafted rookies
like,
were going to make the roster.
He's like, and the thing is, he was like, the coaches are really excited. They were speaking highly of him. And then I dropped the thing on. I said, Ditka talked about how amazing Troy Davis looked in minicamp too, my friend.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah,
he was small but slow. So before we get to Twitter questions, we got to get to the Elite Eight of the Saints' worst quarterback bracket. So number one seed, Andrew, Heath Shuler, Doug Nussmeier, number 9 seed. Who you got?
Okay, so this is actually closer for me than you might think. And here's the deal. They both started – in 1997. They played on the same team. Nussmeier was a backup to Shuler. Nussmeier started one game.
He did.
He threw 3 picks. He was sacked 6 times. No touchdowns. He threw for a whopping 183 yards on the way to the Saints getting bombed at home 20-3 by the Falcons. That's right. Nussmeier put up 3 points. That was a team, the Falcons at the time, by the way, who had the same exact record as the Saints at 4-8. So they were not good. They destroyed the Saints 20-3. There was no offense to speak of.
How'd they score 3?
Morton Anderson bombed a field goal. I was at that game, and I just remember it. I mean, for me, that's why Nussmeier belongs in this tournament. Experiencing that start was arguably the most horrific performance I've ever seen by a quarterback in person in Saints history.
Man.
And I remember that game very well, and it scarred me for life.
I remember Werfel not crossing midfield when they got the shutout streak ended under Dicka. The Saints hadn't been shut out in like 185 straight games, despite of all their years.
Yeah, and then they got shut out in back-to-back games.
Yep.
So you know, Heath Shuler was there the same season. I mean, he statistically had one of the most horrible seasons of all of in NFL history. He had 2 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, but his record was 4-5. So it was actually, like, as horrible as he was statistically, the team did much better with him than anyone else that season. They were 4-5 with Shuler. They were 2-5 with everyone else. Yeah. This is actually a lot closer than me, and I think for personal reasons going to that game that I just remember, I'm going to pick Nussmeier.
Kevin, who you got? So tough.
I'm going to go Nussmeier.
Ooh.
Shuler.
I'm going to go Shuler because, man, I mean, Shuler was – if Ditka had been either right about Shuler – or, like, drafted Jake Plummer or got the quarterback, like, kind of right. Like, I think the Saints would have made the playoffs 1 year under Ditka. Like, Ditka had a pretty good defense under him. And, you know, they got Lamar Smith and their quarterback was atrocious. I mean, if he would have got the quarterback right, Ditka era might have been kind of fun. So I got to go Shuler. So I guess...
Okay, I'm tweeting this out right now.
All right, Kevin, number 4 seed Ken Stabler, number 5 seed Billy Joe Tolliver.
Another tough one.
It is tough.
Who is it?
Ken Stabler.
Ken Stabler and Billy Joe Tolliver. God damn. Didn't they trade up for Tolliver?
No, they didn't trade up for that. They just claimed him off.
He was a free agent.
They claimed him off waivers when Billy Joe Hobert ruptured his Achilles.
Okay. I feel weird picking Stabler. Like, my gut says pick Stabler. I feel weird picking Stabler at this point because, like, it's just like the... like. I just don't think Saints QB when I think of Ken Stabler. And I know we're not supposed to factor in anything they've done elsewhere. It's just fuck it, Ken Stabler. I'm going with my gut.
Andrew, who you got?
All right, and by the way, thanks to John Hendricks as well as C. Neeland. They both voted for Shuler, so that's your tiebreaker right there. So Shuler advances. For this one, it's tough again. This is really close for me, but I mean, I'm just looking at the stats here. You know, Stabler was 11-11 in 22 starts, and being 500 in Saints history as a quarterback, it was very, very hard to do. Very few quarterbacks in team history have a 500 or better record. Tolliver was 2-9. So much, much worse as a starter. Their rating during their time as a Saint, very comparable, 69.2 for Tolliver, 62.4 for Stabler. You know, personally, again, I was in the dome and I had season tickets and I lived in New Orleans at the time. So I saw all of Tolliver's home starts in person at that time and it was miserable. So maybe it's recency bias and the fact that it was kind of more in my lifetime. But I would pick Tolliver.
I'm going to pick Ken Stabler. And here's my reason, Andrew. If you can go off of one game of Doug Nussmeier, I want to read you Ken Stabler's stats in the biggest game in Saints history up to that point in 1983. They were playing the Rams at home. Winner goes to the playoffs, clinches the last wild card. Ken Stabler was 8 of 14 for 95 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception that the Rams returned for a touchdown.
Oh, that doesn't sound that bad.
And... he got sacked. I'm sorry. No, he had 2 interceptions, both returned for a touchdown, both returned for touchdowns, and he got sacked for a safety. The Rams did not score an offensive touchdown and won the game 26-24, and Ken Stabler was personally responsible for 16 of their points. I mean, I know it was 7-7, but that 83 defense for the Saints was young.
That's one game.
And really, that team was young and really good.
I mean,
nine touchdowns, 18 picks. I vote Kansas.
You're comparing an 11-11 record to a 2-9 record.
Yeah, you could make the argument that Drew Brees has lost a game or two on his own.
So what do we have in this one? What's the score for this one?
I haven't voted, but I'm voting for Tolliver.
Oh, so it's going to be, is it 2-2 or 3-1?
I think it's 2-2. Do you voted,
voted
Tolliver, right? Or who did? Wait,
no, I voted Ken Stabler.
And I voted Ken Stabler. So 2-2, fire that out on the internet.
All right, here we go.
All right. Kevin, Carl Sweeten, Ed Hargett.
Sweetan,
and Ed Hargett. Who you got?
These guys didn't play much, but statistically, they are both horrible.
I feel like,
I'll go Sweetan.
I feel like Sweetan because he tried to sell the playbook. I feel like that's the tiebreaker.
That's the Ted Gregory right there.
I feel like that's the trump card. So I'm going Sweetan. Dave, who you got?
I don't know. I mean, Sweeten only played, one year?
Three starts.
So.
The Hargett only had 7 starts.
Yeah, but he was with the team for 3 years. Let me see. Hold on. I'm looking at his QB rating here. Oh, he had a, decision made. Sweeten had a 12.6 rating.
12.6. I feel like
I didn't know it could go that low. I thought like 58 was the lowest it could go, or 53 or something. So I'm voting for Sweeten. That's terrible. That's fucking
Andrew.
Terrible.
Sweeten.
It's a clean sweep. This one.
He had 1 touchdown and 9 interceptions.
Gary Quazo, the 3 seed, Dave Wilson, the 6 seed. I'm going Gary Quazo because I reread the Saints history, Who Dat history. In that book, one of the reasons they picked Quazo, and I shit you not, and Buddy D told me this, is John Meekum said, Gary Quazo, he looks phenomenal on his football card. And that was one of the reasons they traded for him. So I got to go Quazo because of that. Andrew, who you got?
Well, Dave Wilson was the first pick overall in the supplemental draft, and he played with the team for 9 years, I think. They refused to get rid of him. It was the worst. And he could never become a starter. He was always a backup.
Yeah.
I think statistically, you look at it, wins and losses, stats, it's pretty comparable. I mean, Wilson played more. I think, you know, Quazo was a colossal bust based on what they invested in him. And so was Wilson. But I think Wilson was
played more.
Just a stain on the franchise for longer.
Wilson must have been a really nice guy because they kept.
At least they ripped the Band-Aid off Quazo pretty quick.
The thing is with Wilson, though, I feel like he must have been a nice guy. Like, you need coffee, coach? You need me to wash towels? Like, he must have been, like, really – they must have really just liked to have him around. But anyway, Kevin, who you got?
Quazo.
Dave.
Quazo.
Oh, Quazo goes through to the final four.
Yeah, Stabler wins easily. There were a few people that responded, and
yes,
they all picked
so
Stabler.
So we have Heath Shuler versus Ken Stabler. But, Andrew, that means your bracket held up really well because you have 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3 in the bracket.
What was the score of Quazo? Is 3-1?
3-1, yeah.
Yeah.
So your bracket ended up being – right
yeah,
on.
you were really complaining about
my
seating.
Your bracket
looks pretty damn good to me.
Your bracket's on point, man. So next week we'll do the final four. All right, we have a ton of Twitter questions, so let's try to get to them. This is from Freaking About Football, Kevin. When Michael Thomas becomes a Hall of Famer, will he write a book like his uncle?
Will he write a book? I don't get the question.
Keyshawn
so.
Johnson is his uncle.
Oh. I don't have a joke. I got nothing on that. I will say,
interesting. I'm gonna say no. Yeah, you can say no. Andrew, do you think Thomas might be the first Diva Saints receiver that they've had since Joe Horn? I think the potential is there.
I don't know.
He's the only player on the Saints I know that has been referred to very regularly by his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Which is what?
Can't guard Mike.
Can't guard Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the hashtag and then I don't know if you've seen that, but I think it's kind of like, you know, don't say anything, let him ignore me, and I'm going to let my play on the field do the talking.
That's a lie. So, he's going to be dancing in the end zone like a son. That's a lie.
I'm sure he's going to call attention to himself eventually, but he is kind of sticking by that mentality so far. So
that's a lie.
I will say maybe not. I don't know for sure.
Kevin, could a squad comprised of only undrafted free agents beat the Mike Ditka Saints? Like if they time traveled from this like 2015 undrafted free agents beat the 97 Mike Ditka Saints? I don't know. What do you think, Kevin?
So
the 99 Ditka team was the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but wait a second. Wait, we're taking undrafted free agents present day.
Present day. Could they beat the Mike Ditka
Saints? Putting them in a time traveling machine and sending them back to face Ditka.
Yeah.
And this is 99 Ditka. I'm assuming that the undrafted
Ditka.
Free 97 Ditka. Okay, I'm assuming then that the undrafted free agents are at least given time to practice and prepare. I will say that the Ditka Saints end up winning, but it ends up being one of the ugliest goddamn games ever played.
Probably.
Like we're talking like a 13-10 game. Maybe even lower than that.
Yeah.
I would also want to know which quarterback Dick is using because he used about 7 that year.
Yeah, if he uses Billy Joe Hulbert, they could win by like 10. But if he's using if he's using Tolliver or Werfelman,
or Nussmeier.
Ooh. Here, Dave, has there ever been a rookie more hyped after only 5 days of camp? That's from Joe Schott.
Than Michael Thomas? Yeah. No, we just talked about that. There hasn't.
I mean,
Walter. Well, what was his name?
Let's pause on the questions for a second. How justified do you guys think this is? Should we be pumping the brakes on the hype here?
Yeah,
Mike Thomas.
I would pump them a little.
No,
bit, yeah.
No. Why? It's fun. It's fun. He made a one-handed catch, and I watched it 50 times, and it's awesome. Because
they've only had 3 padded practices.
So, man. So he's Jerry Rice and Jim Brown if they had a love child.
I will say this. I mean,
it's clear, at least the first preseason.
From both a fantasy and just a offensive need standpoint, it's clear that this offense needs more red zone ability and just guys that create mismatches in that area of the field. And I would say that the clear guys so far, and I mean this for fantasy purposes mostly, I mean, Fleener and Michael Thomas are two guys, and for whatever reason, that hasn't really happened with Brandon Coleman. I mean, he's not a guy that I've seen that can really box out and use his size to take advantage.
I haven't even heard about him.
Yeah, I know. But even last year, I mean, I really thought that last year Coleman was going to be this guy that created mismatches in the red zone and would score maybe 6, 7, 8 touchdowns, and that never really happened. So.
Yeah.
For me, those are the two guys to really watch, Michael Thomas and Fleener. And, you know, maybe Thomas only gets 40 catches next year, but if 6 of them are touchdowns, 7 of them are touchdowns, you know, if he has a late season run, he might be a good guy for fantasy.
And the wasteland that is the Saints' second-round picks the last decade, I mean, they're just due to hit on one by just sheer luck.
And if they are gonna hit on, it's going to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I love how pretty much the only second-round pick from Sean Payton that's on the roster is the one they took in 2006.
Kevin, what should we be more excited about? Michael Thomas being Odell Beckham II or CJ Spiller being 100% healthy?
I didn't think that CJ Spiller was 100. I thought I read something that said he was, you know, close, but really not 100%. First of all, Michael Thomas obviously is going to be way better than Odell Beckham Jr.
So he's got to go with that.
All right. I like this kid. This is a good
I think people forget how good CJ Spiller was. I mean, that guy.
Yeah, because it was 7 years ago. How could you blame us?
Well, fair enough. But I think if he's healthy and he can make cuts, and I mean, everything I've read about him at practice, and I'll see them. I'm going to the Greenbrier at the end of this week, so I'll get a chance to check it out myself. But, you know, it was 2012 that he had his big season, and then he followed it up in 2013 with another good year. But we're talking about a guy that ran for 1,200 yards and 6 yards a carry. You know, he was that electric. And if the Saints can get anything close to that from him, it just adds an element to the offense. That could be huge. I really do believe it.
This is from Dylan, Kevin. Since Von Bell is going to be really good, should we even give a fuck about Jarisburg?
Nah.
I mean, on the flip side, I think I've come to a place where I expect zero from Jarisburg, and I'll be surprised if the Saints get something out of him. You know, hopefully he makes it through training camp and he starts and he shows something, but I don't think he's ever going to materialize into something that we hoped for.
Yeah. We totally forgot about this. I can't believe this was overlooked. This should have led the podcast. If Hakeem Nicks revives himself, would this be the best Saints receiving corps under Peyton? I can't believe we didn't talk about Hakeem Nicks first. I mean, you would expect me to call him Hakeem Hicks right off the bat, but the media on Twitter was doing it left and right the day that his first day. It was magical, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, we had what, Triplett, Underhill, and Garrett. Maybe Sean Fazan. Oh yeah, it was who was it?
Christian Garrick.
That's right. All three of them within the span of less than 24 hours. Had gotten his name wrong on Twitter.
Can we call it's him amazing. If he's good? Can we call him Hakeem Nicks Hicks?
Absolutely. I mean, the longer he stays on the Nicks roster, the better.
But
as
he's
far
a,
as I'm concerned,
he's a corpse, man. I mean, he is just old.
He's you know what's shocking is he's only 28 years old.
Yeah, but he's like beat up, man. Yeah. Can the Saints offense will us to a 12-4 record?
Say that again. All I heard was 12-4.
Can the Saints offense?
My brain shifted.
Can the Saints offense will us to 12-4 record?
No.
No.
Only if we get competent play at guard.
Not even then.
Dave, you watch Ballers. How was Sean Payton on the Ballers?
I haven't yet. Last night I went to the Guns N' Roses concert.
Oh, how was the Guns N' Roses?
Which was excellent, by the way. You know, Axl showed his age a little bit. You know, he's not what he once was, but I mean, he's got a very distinctive voice in it. So it's awesome to be there and to hear those songs live. But Slash, I mean, I can't fucking say enough about that dude. Andrew's a guitarist. I'm not as good of a guitarist as Andrew, but I play a little guitar myself. And I've always loved guys. I've always loved blues guys and guys like Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan. But fucking, he slashes up there, man. I mean,
Dave just challenged me to a rock off.
No, I just said you are better than me. I'm pretty sure I made that quite clear. I mean, seriously, if you grew up like in the 80s or the early 90s, like we all did, you probably grew up with that.
They could play Appetite for Destruction from beginning to end, and that is.
They came out. They didn't take any breaks. They didn't do any fucking talking. None of that bullshit. No jokes. They just fucking came out and rocked and played. And they played every song you wanted to hear. The only song they didn't play last night was Patience. They didn't do Patience. But they did every other song you know, plus some songs that you don't know. They did a couple of, I thought it was cool. They did a couple of songs. Slash did a couple of acoustical, not acoustic, on the electric, but just by himself, sort of. They did a cover of the Godfather theme, and they did a cover of Layla, the second part of Layla, the instrumental part. And I mean, holy shit, man. Slash, like, Andrew could probably agree with me. There's some, like, if you play guitar or any instrument, really, and you watch somebody who's, like the most amazing person at that instrument, it's like you never want to touch your instrument again because you're like, I'm never going to be that good. I can't. I don't even know why I'm bothering even doing this anymore.
Yeah, I would say he was never necessarily my favorite, but, like, the thing that blows my mind about Slash is you realize, like, those timeless melodies and riffs that he wrote, he did that when he was, like, 17 and 18. Like, can you imagine, like, an 18-year-old, like, just hanging out in his basement, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna write the timeless riff to Welcome to the Jungle.
That's like Prince. Prince recorded his first album at 18, and it's kind of like, it's pretty good, but you're like, then you think, oh, he did that at 18. You're like, wow. All right, I have a question. Yeah. I have a question.
Wait, anyway, I never actually answered the question. So I didn't watch Ballers, but I knew after last week that there was going to be something with the Saints. And I know that Peyton made a cameo because I saw it today on Twitter. Yeah. But I'm going to watch it tonight.
Okay.
Wait, Dave, can we hear your quick review of the Gleason movie?
Oh, yeah. The Gleason movie, also, everybody needs to get, if you live in a city where they're playing the movie, you seriously, seriously, seriously need to go see the movie. It was amazing. It was so well done.
What percentage of the movie is like Saints or Saints footage?
Very little. They just mentioned, you know, the kick and the punt and all that very briefly at the beginning, obviously, to set it up for those people who maybe don't know. But I mean, the movie really is about him. It's kind of told through his wife, Michelle. But it's, you know, it's about him and having a family, and Michelle is amazing. I mean, for everything that she's had to do. I mean, she had a child and she had a young son, and at the same time, she was having to take care of Steve and deal with the fact that her husband is, you know, terminally ill and, you know, all that. And it's also about, it's not just about Steve's relationship with his son, but it's also about his relationship with his father. And obviously, as you would expect, it's very sad. There are a lot of sad moments, but there are also equally as many funny moments. So it's kind of like this roller coaster. I mean, they hit you with this incredible scene. I mean, there's a couple of scenes that stand out to me. A scene with Steve and his dad, where he's almost lost his ability to talk. There's a scene with him and Michelle where they're laying down in their different beds because obviously they can't sleep in the same bed. It stuck with me. It stuck with me all that night, and it stuck with me and Aaron. You know, the next day too, I was still
that's
like
Dave's
very.
That's Dave's wife. For those of
that's my wife.
My wife.
So Dave, it's on Amazon Prime, I think too, if you want to watch it.
Really do it. Go watch it. Support
Wait,
them.
You can watch it on Amazon Prime right now?
I think you have to pay for it. I think you still have to pay for it, even though you're
okay.
A Prime.
Yeah.
But how much for Prime?
I don't,
like $20 or something?
No, it'd be like, I think it's like $5.99. Oh. Like it's not.
I'm going to watch that shit tonight.
Yeah.
Please do. But it's you know, the one thing I didn't know was that Steve was actually close to dying at one point because of his breathing was failing him, so he chose to have a tracheotomy, and chose to keep breathing with assistance. And apparently, only 5% of people with ALS choose to even have that surgery. I guess probably mostly because by the time you're at that point, you're a burden on your family, and you know you're just delaying the inevitable. But, you know, Steve has obviously chosen to do anything and everything he can. He's got a son. I'm sure any extra day he has with his son, he'd probably take. And again, just sort of knowing the family, and it's even more difficult to watch.
Mm. So yeah, I would recommend it. I've got it on. I'm gonna have to watch it on Amazon Prime as well. But Andrew, I think, like Dave said, you could pay for it, but it's not like an exorbitant amount. So, all right.
No, I didn't realize I could do that. I'm all in.
So that does the Twitter question. But I have a Twitter question for you guys. I was in New Orleans this weekend to see family, and my wife wanted to my wife. She wanted to go to a flirty girl and to get some. I got like the.
We're gonna
KB
have a conversation off air.
Kind of the KB onesie and all that. But I went to Black and Gold. I went to Black and Gold, and they had on the discount rack Pierre Thomas jerseys, and I didn't get it.
$5.
You totally should have. But I have a Pierre Thomas jersey.
Pierre Thomas.
Thanks, Brian.
Is he? He's a retro jersey that'll always be good, right? If you wear it, people...
absolutely.
So I need to tell my mom to go back and get it for me. It was $10.
Yeah, there's no bad blood with PT. It's not, you know, like the, you know, I would even say there's some guys like Morton Anderson, Bobby Hebert, like even they have the Falcon stink on them. Joe Horn, you know, Jimmy Graham was traded to the Seahawks.
You
like
get
it,
Jimmy
there's
Graham
a bunch of, you know,
too.
Even Willie Rofe, like he left under some.
Yeah.
Pretty awful allegations and terms. And so, I mean, some of the Saints greats, you know, Sammy Knight, it ended badly. But Charles Bentley, I mean, there's plenty of Saints, great Saints that, you know, I think highly of that, you know, it wasn't a perfect ending in New Orleans for them. But, I mean, with Pierre Thomas, for the most part, I mean,
pretty good
I don't
ending.
Really feel like, yeah, you can't really say that it was bad blood or anything. So, right. It's a timeless jersey.
So... All right, that answers that. So go to Saints Nation. You can get you can listen to Brian's podcast. He has good audio this week. And Nick Underhill is a guest. You can go to Canal Street Chronicles and get your Saints fix as training camp is covered.
Yeah, and late this week I'll be at the Greenbrier, so I'll be giving constant updates about that.
I like Andrew at the Greenbrier. That's when I really pay attention because Andrew gets salty, and he's like, that dude sucks. And it's I think he's more honest or open than the regular New Orleans media. I'll just say it. And of course, Kevin is on the Twitters with me, talking the politics. Kevin, I hemorrhaged followers during the two conventions, but I'm back. I've gained a bunch back since my Channel 4 column posted. But I hemorrhage followers, you know. So go to the
something Twitter. About tweeting politics, man. It's good for a loss of about 10 followers a tweet.
Yeah, if I'm not, well, whatever, you know. It's like
regardless of where you stand on
stick
things.
To sports, but it's like you talk about whatever the fuck you want on Twitter. Why can't I? So
right, it's fucking Twitter, dude.
Exactly. So, so go to the Twitters and find me and Kevin. Go to Saints Nation and go to Canal Chicago. So for Dave, for Kevin. For Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Are you pulling duct tape over a dead body? Are you stapling it together?